Andy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Appreciate being with you as always. Wanted to get your take on this past night's meeting. What stood out at it for you?
Well, you know, one of the more important things that we did was we passed a resolution allowing our Register of Deeds, Curtis Hertel Jr., to contract with legal aid. We've got a lot of foreclosures, as I think you've reported on in the past, recent past. We're finding out that there have been a lot of foreclosure fraud due to certain companies. And, you know, the Register of Deeds and the Treasurer, Eric Tertzing, are kind of overwhelmed, and we are allowing them to work with legal aid to make sure that anybody who is facing foreclosure fraud or having any problems due to fraudulent foreclosures can get some help and get back in their houses or stay in their houses.
And this project is going to cost about $60,000. Where'd that money come from?
It comes mostly out of the Register of Deeds office, money that's already budgeted. So it's not like we're taking new money. We're just taking money they have and kind of repurposing it towards these attorneys. So it's also, you know, there's going to be court cases. There's going to be legislation. There's going to be a lot as a result of this to make sure that that the broken system is fixed. And Curtis has been on the leading edge. So you know, we're all very excited and proud of him, and we're happy to back him in any way possible to make sure that the residents can stay in their homes. You know, you don't want property values to drop. You don't want people to be out of their homes. It's all good for the county to make sure we get this right.
Andy, a word that seems to be as naughty as the F-bomb is the B-word, the budget. Where does the budget stand as you folks are working on next year's budget?
You know, we're in a calendar year, January to December, so we're just starting to get into the budget. We've got requests out to our departments asking them what they need, and those requests are going to come back. And, of course, everybody's going to ask for more money. And we expect to be about $5.5 million in the hole in deficit. And, you know, we're going to have to figure out how we're going to deal with that. We've used different methods in the past, and, you know, we've done furloughs. We've eliminated road patrol. We closed the post in the jail. We've done a lot of structural reform. I expect we'll do, you know, some short-term and some long-term fixes, and we're just starting that discussion. I expect late July we will really start getting into that with our controller and giving her some direction. She'll have some recommendations to us in August, and we'll get moving on the budget and be done with it, you know, late October, early November. So we're just starting that long, not so great process. You know, it used to be when I first got on the board, there'd be extra money, and you'd figure out who you're going to give it to, and now it's, you know, who are we taking money from and what services we're going to have to look at cutting or what short-term fixes. So, you know, like you said, it's a tough process, but, you know, it's part of the job.
You've already cut to the bone, especially when you look at law enforcement and the jail. Where can you cut, especially $5 million?
Well, there are some things we can do. As you have positions that open up, you can keep them open a few months, and that'll save some money. You know, if you have a hiring delay of 3 months, then you're saving, in essence, a quarter of the year, and we can do that with a variety of positions. We don't like to do that too much, because then you're having more responsibility on other employees. But, you know, that's one option. We can, we can keep positions open as needed. There have been several restructurings. The clerk has done a restructuring. The prosecutor has done a restructuring. We're really, it's something that everyone says, but we're trying to be more efficient with our employees, with our services, and yet still provide the same services. You know, we're going to have to go through a list of potential options and figure out what we're going to do. I mean, some things just don't work that well. You know, the furlough days did not work that well, and I don't think we'll do that again. But we're going to keep playing around with things. Yeah, well, you're right. We've cut the sheriff to the bone, and there's really not a whole lot more cuts that he can take. You know, so we'll continue to look at all the departments. The health department, I'm sure, we'll need to see some cuts or draw down more federal grants, which they've been just doing an incredible job of. We bring in so much money from the federal government for our federally qualified health centers. So let's continue to bring in more federal funds to supplement what we're doing. So things like that I think will help to close the budget gap.
You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. We're talking with Ingham County Board of Commissioners, District 5 Commissioner Andy Shore. Andy, what's your take on redistricting for the county?
Luckily, I wasn't involved. It's a separate process. You know, I think that they looked at the districts, saw that we had 16 commissioners, wanted to show some efficiencies, reduced it by two. You know, the prosecutor, the treasurer, the folks who are responsible, they reduced the districts by two, and I give them credit for that, for some efficiencies. They wrote the lines as per the population. It wasn't a Democratic plan. It wasn't a Republican plan. It was an independently submitted plan. I think it worked out pretty well. There were some interesting districts. You know, I'm not running again. I'm going to be running for the State House of Representatives. But there are some, you know, there's some bigger districts. We're used to our district, and every commissioner is used to their own district, and no one wants to see, you know, it change or have to learn new areas. But two less districts means you get more area, and, you know.
But bottom line, if you're Republican, you're sad, and if you're a Democrat, you're happy.
You know, I don't know if that's the case. The Democrats are losing two seats. The Democrats are going, you know, right now it's 12-4, and we're losing two Democrats. So the Democrats are losing two seats, which means it's 10-4. You know, the Republicans have that much better of a chance to grab majority. So I don't know why that would be true. You know, Democrats should be upset they're losing two of their own seats, and they're two of their own for the cushion. So I don't, you know, maybe I'm not sure why they're complaining, but I don't think that should be true.
All right. Andy Shore is also running for state representative. How's the campaign going?
It's going excellent. It's going really well. We've had two fundraisers. We've raised, you know, a nice chunk of change, you know, spending a little bit of it, starting to get ready for some door knocking. And we've had a lot of constituent outreach. I'm getting just tremendous feedback. It's going very, very well. I'm very excited where we are, you know, 15 months out from the election.
Who will give you your biggest challenge?
I don't know. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of rumors, but I don't know. You know, I'm out early. For me, it's something that I think is the best way to do it. I've got a family, and I need to be sure that as I'm doing meetings and as I'm raising money and stuff, I can spread that out. I couldn't get in next February and neglect my family for, you know, 8 months. For me, it was easier to get out early, make it known so that way folks know, you know, what's going on in my county commission spot, and run my own campaign. I don't know. You know, as the year goes on, I'm sure we'll find out who else is interested in for sure getting in. But at this point, I'm focused on running my race.
Thanks so much, Andy.
Thanks for having me, Tony.